We talk about being a church member. I think as we close out this sermon series, it's important that we talk about membership. How is it that we came to be so fortunate that we might become a member of this local church, of the universal church of God, to be a member of the kingdom of God, to be called one of His? You know, I think Paul did an excellent job here in Romans 3 throughout these verses that we read. How that he explains to us that we were all sinners, that we have all fallen short, but by the grace of God, we might be saved. And Christ Jesus came, and through the process of salvation, we have an opportunity that if we accept Christ Jesus into our heart and our life, make Him our Lord and make Him our Savior, that we can be a part, that we can be a stakeholder in, that we can be a participating, active member in the church and in the kingdom of God. That's only possible if we're accepting and inviting of Christ into our heart and into our life. We've got to know that about church member above being a church member above anything else. You know, I think a lot of times people want to equate, you know, membership to something like a church, no different than what you would equate it to being the member of a civic organization, to being a member of a country club. You may pay dues, you may petition members to join, and people oftentimes try to equate and simplify what it means to be a member of a church almost into those kinds of terms, and I think that's so sad. It's a depressing thought, and I know that membership in some churches is as simple as somebody, you know, saying, "Hey, I want to be a member," and then you just kind of are. But I want you to know that as a church member here at Buena Vista, you can come and you can join in faith, that you can come and you can join and be a brother and sister in Christ, but the only thing that is required of you is that you know and have a personal relationship with Christ Jesus. That you believe that He is the Son of God, and that God has raised Him from the dead, and that when He died for the remission of your sins. All you've got to do is ask Him into your heart and your life, and you can be saved. And that's the essential part of being a church member and being a part of the kingdom of God. It's the only prerequisite that there is to membership. Everybody know what that term prerequisite is? Anybody have a class where that you had to have a prerequisite in order to take the class? Been a lot of classes I wanted to take over the years. I couldn't do it because you had to have the prerequisite to get into it. For me, the biggest hurdle that I always had to jump through was the classes that had prerequisite that required math. I don't know if you know this about me. I'm a really smart guy. Yeah, I am a really smart guy. But I tell you what I struggle with is math. I'm a terrible math student. In my undergraduate degree, the very last class that I took was my math requirement. And had it not been for my wife, I would never have passed that class. That is the God's honest truth. She helped me get through that class, and I had such anxiety about taking it that I took it the very last semester in a summer term where it could be taken all by itself. And that was a prerequisite of graduating. It was a requirement. There was no way I was going to graduate without that class. Well, church membership requires a prerequisite, and that prerequisite is that you know Christ Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. But you know what the beautiful thing is about a church membership that requires such a thing? Is you would think such a requirement as to be saved by Christ would cost us something. You'd think such a beautiful gift as that cost something, that it was terribly expensive. But the beautiful thing about the gift of salvation is the fact that it is a gift that comes free. Amen? You've heard me share that, and you've heard me say it several times before. Being a church member will not cost you anything. You know, you might join a country club, you might join a civic organization, you'll pay the dues up front, you'll pay those annual dues. In the church of God, in a kingdom of God, there is no such thing as paying annual dues. We are becoming members of something where Christ loved us so much that He paid the cost for us up front with His blood. That's the beauty of being a church member, that it's a gift that is free. It's nothing that costs anything on our part. But also know this, as much as it's a free gift, it's also an eternal gift. Amen? How many things in life do you know about that are eternal, that last forever? Your soul is something that lasts forever. Your soul is something that never ceases to exist. God is eternal. Christ is eternal. The Holy Spirit, they're eternal. They've always been and they will always be. Just like your soul is eternal and going to last forever, so is the existence in heaven or hell. It's something that never ends. It's something that continues on and on and on. And in our minds, it's hard sometimes for us to even begin to fathom what eternity really is or what eternity really means. I can't really put it into the best of words in some ways, but I remember a sermon illustration from when I was a kid a lot of years ago where a pastor had a little jar of sand and he said, compare eternity to this. If you went to the beach and you picked up one single grain of sand and you put that one single grain of sand into a jar and you went back every year, year after year after year, picking up only one grain of sand. Imagine doing that until you had picked up every grain of sand off of that beach. How long would it be? It'd be a very long time. He said that's a good way of thinking about equating to eternity. It's hard for us because we think of 60 seconds in a minute and 60 minutes in the hour and we think about 365 days a year and we think about 52 weeks in the year and we think about 10 years in the decade and 100 years in a century and we think about the fact that this country's only been here for about 250 some odd years as a nation. I mean, it's hard for us to fathom what eternity is really like. But I tell you this, the soul is eternal and the gift of God is salvation through His Son Christ Jesus so that your soul might have eternity with Him forever. As much as the gift is free, the gift is also eternal. It never ceases and it never ends. Paul in his writings in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, he shares some other verses with us about the gift. He says, for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteous of God. Luke in the book of Acts chapter 3 verses 18 through 21 says this. He says, but what God foretold by the mouth of all of the prophets that His Christ would suffer, He thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that time of refreshing may come in the presence of the Lord, that He may send that Christ, that the Christ appointed you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets long ago. He also, Paul in his writings to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 9 said it this way. Look at this. He says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sin, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that one may boast. You see, church membership is all about this free gift that God has given us. You see, it's nothing that we can obtain on our own. You can go be a member of a country club. You can go be a member of a civic organization. And generally, all you've got to do is have the petitioning of a few members. They'll say, yeah, this is a good guy. Yeah, she's a pretty good gal. And you'll be brought into the fold. Well, you see, it's not like that. We can't become a member of our church based upon the good things that you and I have done. We can only be a part of God's church if we accept Christ Jesus into our heart, because it is by Him and by Him alone, the only means for by which we can have remission of sin. He is the only means for which we can have forgiveness. And He gives us a free gift that is eternal, that never ends, that never ceases. You see this? Church membership, it's not just about the free gift. It's not just about the eternalness of it. But church membership is also about the forgiveness. You see, Paul said, while we were still yet dead in our trespasses. In a verse of Scripture that we referenced last week, we talked about the fact how that God sent His Son, Christ Jesus, while we were still yet sinners. While we were dead in our trespasses. While we were still yet sinners, God loved and cared for us enough that He wanted to give us a free gift of salvation that we might call ourselves members, heirs, and joint heirs to the kingdom of God. That if we but would accept Him, that we might be free. He loved us while we were still yet sinners. Think about that. God says, I want you to be a part of My family. And I'm preparing that way for you even before you've ever changed. Church, that's what forgiveness really is all about. Could you imagine forgiving somebody before they had ever come to you and asked for forgiveness? You think about that measure. Forgiving somebody long before they ever ask you for forgiveness when they've done something against you. That's what God did through His Son Jesus Christ. He sent His only begotten Son. He sent a way and a means of forgiveness and was willing to do that long before mankind ever wanted a way to be forgiven. And He gave it in a free gift, in an eternal means, if we would but accept Him. And what does all that mean? That free gift? That eternalness? That forgiveness? That He forgave us while we were still yet sinners. That He loved us while we were still in our trespasses. It means that we had a way to be adopted into the family of God. You know, Paul once described the coming of the Gentiles into the church like this. He said they were grafted. They were grafted. Anybody know what it means to graft something? They can do a lot of great things in science today. If you ever become the victim of a fire and you're burned terribly, doctors have the ability to take and graft skin, new skin, onto your body. And that skin that they place upon your burned body will graft and it will become one with your body and becomes new skin for you. If you've been experienced with farming, there are certain types of plants and trees and grapes and especially fig trees. That was the common reference that Christ would have used with fig trees. You can take certain branches of those trees and you can graft them into other trees that they would grow together, that they would be stronger. Grafting, Paul says, is what happens to the Gentiles in the church. He says you were grafted. You were brought into and made a part of. You see, when we accept Christ Jesus into our heart and we obtain membership into the kingdom of God, it's not just that we become a part of something simple. It is we are adopted or grafted into that body of believers. Being a church member is a beautiful thing. I want you to see that. I hope that you see and understand that church membership is not something that should be taken for granted. It's never something that should be taken lightly. Why? Because God is adopting us and grafting us into the body of believers by the free gift of salvation that He gave through His Son Christ Jesus. And it costs something mighty. God had to give of His only begotten Son, whom He loved, who had been with Him from the beginning of time. And God gave of His Son that He might die a sinner's death for you and I. You see, church membership, even though it's a free gift to us, it cost Him mightily. Amen? We can never forget the cost of the church membership as being a part of the kingdom of God that He has paid for you and I. Not only is being a member of the local church, the universal church, a gift, but I think it's important that we see what it means when we say the church. You hear that phrase a lot, and you hear me say it a lot. We talk about the church. And you may hear me reference, and I may say the church, and I may say not just speaking of Buena Vista, but I speak of the whole church. You know, there's a term in seminary, they call it the universal church. Universal church is the church as a whole, meaning all Christians, all saints, everyone who is a believer. The universal church. Then we have the local church. Those are the local bodies of believers, like this church, like Buena Vista, like Forks, like the other community churches that are in and about and around us, the local church. Well, Paul said a few things about the universal church, and I want to share them with you. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. Here's how you become a part of the universal church of God. Here was Paul's reference to the church as a whole. He says, "For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you become fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." We see here that in the universal church, Christ is the cornerstone. And our purpose as being a part of that body of believers is that we are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Do you understand the importance of church membership is that Christ being the foundation is building us up together, not just Buena Vista, not just the one local church, but building up all of God's people together so that God, the very presence of God through the Holy Spirit, might dwell in us and be in us here in this place. In all of the churches that are gathered together this morning, and all the people who call themselves believers all around the world, God is presenting Himself and living through us by the Holy Spirit. That's the importance of church membership. That is, members of the body of the church, God is living in us. You ever think about the importance of church membership from the aspect that as a member of the church, the Holy Spirit is living in me, that God literally, God is living in me. And we take church membership for granted. You know, there's a lot of us, it burdens my heart, but there's a lot of us that just don't see the importance of church. The local church or the universal church. We don't see that the church is a place where we come to worship. We don't see that the church is something that literally God dwells in us by means of the Spirit. We don't see the cost. We don't see what God has given us so graciously. And we handle it, and a lot of times we even mismanage it. One of my greatest desires is that we who believe would see the importance of being active, not just in that universal church, but that we would be active in the local church. You know, Paul said these things about the local church in Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Paul, an apostle not being from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Him from the dead." He says, "And all of the brothers who are with me to the churches of Galatia." The whole book of the church of Galatians is written to the church of Galatia, one of the early local bodies. Ephesians 1 and 1, he said it this way. He says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus, and the faithful in Christ Jesus." The whole Episcopal of the book of Ephesians written to the church at Ephesus. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, he says, "Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes," he says in verse 2, "to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Talks about this relationship in the local church. Paul says, "I write to all of you in Galatia, I write to all of you in Ephesus, I write to all of my brothers whom I labor with, who I love and I serve with." You see, the local church is a place where we come together to serve. It's a place where we come together to love each other to love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ because we've all been given a free gift of God. Because we should all have one thing in common. If above all else, we love Him. We love Him. I know we're not always going to get along all the time. We're not always going to be able to agree on everything. I don't always agree with you, believe it or not. There are things that you all say and do, I love you dearly, but I don't agree with it. There are things that you say and you do that frustrate me. There are things that you say and do that sometimes make me say and think, you don't get it, but I love you. I love you greatly. But you know what? Even though there are things that you say and do that I don't maybe agree with, that I don't necessarily like, that makes me question sometimes what you're thinking. And the same for me, you may say, what in the world are you saying, thinking, or doing? Isn't that right, John? That's right, brother. He gets a kick out of the things that I say sometimes. We still have one great thing in common, that we love the Lord. That we love the Lord. We're all a part of this universal church. You believe in Christ Jesus? You are a part of the greater kingdom of God. But it shouldn't stop there. I tell you and encourage you to be a part of the local believers of God. Establish yourself in a local church and attend it regularly. Call it home. Call it a place where you come to worship. Call it a place where you come to serve. The church is a gift. The church is universal as much as it is local. But how is it that we really cherish our church membership? How is it that we really hold it sacredly? The last three things I want you to see in this message before we close is this. I believe that if we're going to cherish our church membership, the first thing we have to do is receive it gratefully. If somebody brings you a gift, what's the appropriate thing to do? Anybody? Yes, say thank you. And then take the gift, right? Right? Yes, right. Somebody brings you a gift, you be courteous and you say thank you. Even when it's a really terrible gift. Over the years, I've gotten a lot of terrible gifts. Anybody else? Terrible gifts? Yes. So, we all know what that's like. We don't have to play around with each other. We know what it's like to get a really terrible gift and to have to say thank you. And the whole time we're thinking, what on earth were they thinking in getting us such a silly thing? And we take it. And for me, over the years, I used to wear ties more often. People would get me different ties. And I'd be thinking, what were they thinking? Thank you. And it'd go into the bottom of that tie drawer and never be seen again until it went to the Goodwill. You know, I mean, just the truth. When somebody gives us a gift, we receive it gratefully. Even if it's something we didn't want, or we don't need, or that we have 10 of, right? We receive it gratefully. The way that we begin being cherishing of our membership is that we receive it gratefully. Now, the difference in the gift of that tie that we don't like, or that whatever somebody got us that they re-gifted us and gave us, the difference between those gifts and the gift that God gave us is that His gift is fabulous. His gift is beautiful. His gift is wonderful because His gift is mercy and grace and forgiveness and true love that lasts forever. How do we begin to cherish our church membership? Accept it gratefully. How do you do that? If you've never accepted it, it's as simple as admitting and believing in your heart that you are indeed a sinner. Paul, in those verses that I read earlier, he says, for all have sinned. He said, for all have fallen short. It begins with you understanding and knowing that you have fallen short and that you need salvation, that you need to be saved because of your shortcomings. Calling upon the Lord, asking of Him to come into your heart and your life and to forgive you of your shortcomings, your failures, your sins. That's all that's required for you to be saved. Believing in your heart in Christ Jesus and who that He is and that God hath raised Him from the dead. Paul says, thou shalt be saved. If you believe, you shall be saved. The first part of cherishing church membership is accepting it gratefully, inviting Christ Jesus into your heart and seeing that it is God's greatest gift to the world. After you accept that gift gratefully, I believe from there you must have a desire to serve in it. I believe that Christ changes lives. Call me old-fashioned, but I believe that Christ changes lives. He changes hearts. I know that He does. I've seen the lives that He has changed personally. I can tell you that Christ changed my life. And I believe that when He changes lives drastically. One of the things that should change in your membership is that you should have a desire to serve Him. You should have a desire to worship Him. You should have a desire to praise Him. You should have a desire to have His goodness and His greatness on your lips. But you should have a desire to serve. And if you don't, I'm not telling you that you're not saved, and I'm not telling you that you haven't gratefully accepted His gift. But if you don't have a desire to serve, you really need to look at your heart and you need to look at your life and you need to ask God, why don't I have a desire to serve? You should have a desire to serve, to praise Him, to worship Him, to honor Him. The last part of cherishing our membership is we always have to remember those who are the fellow members. What do I mean by that? We get frustrated and we get aggravated and we get upset with brothers and sisters in Christ because they say things, because they do things, because they don't always do as we want. We don't always do as we expect. They let us down. They hurt our feelings. But what is it that we have to remember about our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? That they too are still yet sinners who have been saved by the grace of God. That's right. I'm telling you that you're a sinner saved by the grace of God, and you can never forget that. Sometimes in church membership, it seems like there are certain members among us who at some point in time they believe that I'm perfect. Anybody know anybody like that? Nobody? Come on now, let's get real with it. I mean, we all know somebody who's perfect, right? Or we all know somebody who thinks they're perfect. Let me tell you something. We can never forget that we are sinners saved by the grace of God. We can never forget that our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are sinners who are saved by the grace of God. We'll never be perfect, ever. Even in knowing Christ Jesus, even in being forgiven of our sins, we will never be perfect. We're going to fall short. We're going to have failures. Sometimes we will fail miserably. But it doesn't mean that God is done with us. It doesn't mean that God is through. And I see it in church sometimes, how that people fail and they fall and they make terrible mistakes. And sin catches up with them. And people just say, well, you know what? We're going to have to write them off. They can't serve anymore. They've done all of this in their life. They've done these things. And we just write them off as if we're finished with them. I'm a believer that the Lord still has use for all of us. If we know Him and we have a relationship with Him, God has a purpose for us. And even though you fail, even though you fall short, God still has a way of restoring and making right. Always remember the membership is made up of those who are sinners saved by the grace of God. That's you, that's me, that's everybody. We fall short, so what does that mean? That means that we have to uplift one another, pray for one another. Amen? We learned about that a few weeks ago. That we would pray for one another. Just like I asked you to pray for me, we have to pray for each other. Pray for the membership. I want to close out with Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. As our praise and our worship team comes, he says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. I think that verse really sums up what it means to be Christ-like when we talk about being a member of the church. Being a member of the church is not about what God can do for us. He's already done enough. God gave His only Son that if we believe in Him, we might go free, that we could have Him for all eternity, that we could have forgiveness, we could have grace, that we could be adopted into His family. God's done enough, but He still yet loves us. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Church, our desire as members should be not to be served, but to serve. Why? Because Christ gave and presented His life a ransom for all those who would believe. If you're here and you've never invited Christ into your heart and your life, you've never been a member, I would encourage you to come today. I'd love to talk to you more about membership. I'd love to introduce you into a relationship with Christ. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with membership. You're struggling to make membership a priority in your life. You're struggling to make your relationship with God what it should be in the place that it should be. I believe with all of my heart that if you come and you ask the Lord to help make your membership in the kingdom of God a priority, He will do it. I believe He'll help give you the strength. I believe He'll give you the wisdom. I believe He'll give you the guidance. You've just got to come and ask for it. I believe He'll give it. You come this morning, however God is working on your heart, however the Lord is speaking to you, you come. Lord, Father, as we come and we move now from this time of preaching to a time of response, Lord, I pray that, Lord, if there's somebody here who's never known You, Lord, I pray that they'll come and they'll be saved. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here who struggles with being the member that they know that they need to be, Lord, I pray that they'll come. Lord, there's so much in life that we put before You. Lord, I know that I'm guilty of it. I know that others are. I know that there are so many of us who take our membership for granted. We forget how much it cost. We forget the penalties that You came and You paid through Your Son so that we could go free. We take for granted the fact that Your love and Your mercy and Your forgiveness is eternal, that it never ends. Lord, I pray today that stops. Lord, I pray that today we would see and forever see how great Your gift is. Lord, that we always keep Your praise on our lips. Lord, Father, I pray that You help us to cherish our membership. Lord, Father, I pray that You draw people to come. It's in Your holy, precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen.